thank you, as always, for having me. It's always an honor to open up God's Word. And I want to begin with a question. What's the difference between a dream and a nightmare? The ending? Your attitude? Nope. I like that. The nightmare wakes you up. The dream you often sleep through. I would argue it's a matter of perspective. Right? When you first get married and you're thinking about having kids in a family, it sounds like a wonderful dream. And then you get a week into it and you haven't slept. And you're wondering, is it a dream or a nightmare? Especially, so what Parker didn't tell you is, yes, we have a week-old daughter, but we also have our first daughter who is 12 months old. So it's been an adjustment. It's been fun. But sometimes when it's, 1:30 in the morning, you're asking yourself, is this my dream or is this my nightmare? And it really is a matter of perspective. Because sometimes things that may look on the front end to be a nightmare turn out to be a God-ordained dream. And every once in a while, those things that may seem like a dream turn out to be more of a nightmare. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of who do you trust in that dream or in that nightmare. And so as we get into our text today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 10. And we are going to look at two dreams, two visions and we're going to see what may look like a dream to one or a nightmare to another is a God-ordained opportunity to trust God, to be obedient and faithful. Because we're going to look at two stories. One is the story of Cornelius, the other of Peter. And what we're seeing happen, and it started kind of around Acts chapter 8, is we start seeing a transition from the gospel kind of staying in Jerusalem and the surrounding countries, staying primarily amongst the Jews, to now the gospel is starting to go out to the Gentiles. And if you were with us last week, you know that we saw the conversion of Saul, who becomes Paul, the apostle. And he starts, and we are in the moment where God is grooming and shaping Paul. But we go from, we were studying kind of Peter and the early acts of the church, to we see this aside where Paul comes in, to now we're back to Peter before we go back to Paul. But what we're going to start to see is God using faithful obedience to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And so Acts chapter 10, we've got a lot to cover. We may not cover every single verse, but we got a lot to cover. And so here is the first dream, the first vision. And it says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. It says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And it said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And so here we have Cornelius. And notice what it tells us about Cornelius. It says that he was a devout man, a man who feared God with all his household. And he gave his alms generously to the people and prayed continually before God. And we're going to come back to that in just a second, because I think that's a key to understanding what's going on here and to understanding Cornelius's response. And then here's our second vision. and it's Peter. And it says, the next day as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and he wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." I get my theology from being a meat eater from that verse right there. Rise, kill, and eat. But just imagine for Peter. Peter was a Jew. Peter would have grown up under Jewish dietary laws and customs. So when he sees this vision while he's in this trance, I'm not sure Peter was having a dream, but probably more of a nightmare. The idea of eating a pig, or the parts of a pig, eating certain reptiles, eating certain types of hoof shapes and things, those were all things that had been forbidden according to Jewish dietary law. And so for Peter, he hears this and he sees this great sheet, and it says in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And the voice comes to him and says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." So if you're in Peter's state, what are you thinking here? Everything you know is now being thrown into question. Peter's in a situation where this is something, okay, I've been told this is strictly forbidden. And God's saying I can do this now? I would imagine there was a great deal of fear and angst and consternation. Can I really do this? Is this really okay? This is not what I'm used to. How often when God prompts us to do something, is that our response? I don't know about this. It doesn't fall in line with everything I've ever done. It's outside of my comfort zone. You want me to go share the gospel with people? I don't know if you know this, but I'm very shy. Some people, I don't know if you know this, but I don't really like people. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And so notice Peter's response in verse 13. Or in verse 14, excuse me. He says, "By no means, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Peter's saying, I don't know if you know this, God, but that's not what we Jews like to do. We have very strict dietary laws. We are very orderly in how we go about it. The mental picture I get, my grandfather was a very formal man, and so he would sit down to eat, and he would tuck his napkin into the collar of his shirt because he didn't want to get anything on his shirt. I feel like that's what Peter would have been like as an eater. He would have been kind of nice and neat and proper. But notice God's response. It says, "And the voice came to him again a second time, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.'" So God tells him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter's response, "God, I don't know that I can do that. I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And it says, "What God has made clean, do not call common." But notice this, notice verse 16. God didn't just tell Peter that once. He had to tell Peter that three times. I don't know why, but for Peter, it seems to take three times for things to sink in. Right? You go back to Peter, now when Jesus is arrested, and Peter has to deny him three times. "I didn't know him. He wasn't part of me. I wasn't with him." God restores him three times. And now Peter pushes back against God again three more times. You know, and it's easy to look at that and to sit there and say, "Well, Peter, why don't you get it? Peter, you saw Jesus. Peter, you've been there through it all. And yet, Peter's still filled with doubt, still filled with trepidation. This vision that God has given Peter right now is a nightmare. Going back to Cornelius, it says that the angel came and told Cornelius, and he says, "What is it, Lord?" He said, "Send men to Joppa and bring one Simon called Peter." And it says, "He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." Now, we don't know a ton about Cornelius, other than that he was a man of character, a man of integrity. It wasn't just a character, but he was a devout man. He was devoted to the things of the Lord. And here's the thing, for us to understand a God-ordained vision, a God-ordained dream, it takes being devoted to the Lord. Right? Because we can get up in the middle of the night, we can get a dream or a flash, and not know what to do with it. Peter's struggling, "God, do I really do this?" And I think we need to understand something. Sometimes we want to make things simple as A plus B equals C. When we walk by faith, the thing that challenges us is the fact that it is a journey by faith. Which means that we don't necessarily know the end result. We don't necessarily know the next step when God calls us to something. And so when God calls us, when God gives us a dream or a vision, or He gives us something to do, what He's looking for is our obedience. He's looking for our faithfulness. We look at that with Cornelius, and look what he did. It says, "When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa." And so we see Cornelius' devotion led to his obedience. Now back to Peter's story. "Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed, verse 17, as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, it says, 'Behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood out at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there.'" Isn't that interesting? We see one man whose response is immediate action. And we see another who, if I'm honest, I wouldn't necessarily picture Peter at this point to be the one who would be hesitant. Peter was often the impetuous one, right? Shoot first, aim later. Speak first, then think. You would think Peter might be so gung-ho that, man, he just charges. But we see this internal wrestling. And because of Simon's obedience, or Cornelius' obedience, they call out. So Peter kind of sees that next step. But he's still wrestling with this. And notice how God continues to answer him. It says in verse 18, "And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them.'" And it says, "And Peter went down to the men and said, 'I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?' And they said, 'Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house to hear what you have to say.'" Isn't that interesting? It says, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house." Cornelius saw the vision. Cornelius followed and obeyed. And notice how God kind of, through Cornelius, comes alongside of Peter to help him act. He tells him that there was he uses the men Cornelius sent to say, "Hey, Peter, go with these guys. I've got something for you." And it says, "The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. And Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and close friends." And it says, "When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter lifted him, saying, 'Stand up, I too am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered and said to them, 'You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection, asking then why you sent for me.'" It's important to note here, while Peter's reaction was not as immediate as Cornelius's, when the call came, Peter obeyed. Because when God calls us, when God gives us a vision or a dream, it could be for our lives as a whole. It could be for a specific instance and circumstance in life. He comes alongside us as we act in obedience. If I'm honest, that's often the hardest part. By nature, I'm a little bit more of a planner. So I want to know A to Z before I start. If I'm honest, I really want to know B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and I. Why? Because then things start to make sense. Right? And if I can make sense out of it, then I can see it. But here can be the challenge. If we wait to know all the answers before we act, and we miss out on an opportunity for God to use us. And so Peter acts. And what we are starting to see, and what we're going to see here in a second, is the way God uses Peter, a leader of the early church in Jerusalem, a man who was Jewish by nature, who had followed all the Jewish rites and customs. God uses him to begin the spread of the gospel amongst the Gentiles. Because notice what it says. "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour, I was praying in my house the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. And your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner. So I sent you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.'" So Cornelius says, "Peter, you're here because God has called you. God gave me a vision. God gave me a dream." Cornelius' vision and dream, we believe, was that his family and friends would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But notice the work God has had to do in Peter's life. He's having to deconstruct much of Peter's worldview as it related to how he relates to other people. Looking back at verse 28. You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." So he had to deconstruct who Peter related to and how he related to him. He had to deconstruct what Peter would eat and how he would interact. When we get a little bit further in the book of Acts, this is going to become a bigger issue because they're going to have a whole council devoted to all these Gentiles who are coming to Christ. Should we force them to follow Jewish laws and customs? And so we're beginning to see God deconstructing this to create as few barriers as possible for Gentiles to come to Christ. It says, "Now therefore we are here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Right? Cornelius had a dream. Peter had what he thought was a nightmare. I mean, I don't know that I can state enough how difficult this would have been for Peter given his background and culture. And so you can see that wrestling. You can see that inner turmoil going on. But look what God does by two men's faithful obedience. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. As for the word that He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. You yourselves know that what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we were our witnesses to all... witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." And notice what verse 42 says. "And he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." What just happened? We just saw a large gathering of Gentiles. A large gathering of people who may not have understood what the prophets had talked about, what they had been forecasting and foretelling. But they heard the good news of Jesus Christ. That God raised him, sent him down from heaven to live a perfect, sinless life. To die on a cross in our place for the forgiveness of our sins. And that God raised him 3 days later. And it says, "And he appeared to those who had been chosen by God as witnesses and ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." And it says, "He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead." Isn't that fascinating? It's so fascinating when you look at Peter's life. As we said earlier, Peter was a man who kind of was known to act and then think. Peter was a man who at times was full of devotion, but then when the rubber met the road and Jesus was arrested, Peter says, "No, I don't know him." And then God comes and restores him and calls him back to himself. You know, I find myself identifying with Peter at times. Because it's easy to walk with Jesus when times are good. It's easy in the day-to-day. But what about when God calls us to something that makes us uncomfortable? What about when God gives us a vision? Or maybe that vision is a person. For Peter, the vision God gave him was to be part of bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Which would have been a big deal for somebody of Jewish background and descent. But look what happens. It says, "While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And it says, then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. I mean, look at that. You've got Peter, who a few verses earlier is like really wringing his hands and he's really wrestling with what God's doing. God, are you really calling me to go to these people? God, I'm with my buddy Simon the Tanner. We're hanging out. Things are good. If Peter's hanging with a friend, he's probably safe. I can imagine after all that Peter's been through and seen, just in the first 9 books of Acts, there's part of him that wants to kick his feet up and rest for a little bit. Have you ever been there? I can think of even in times in my own life where the Lord has prompted me to go and do something in His name, to share it with a friend, to provide a word of encouragement. But if I'm honest, I just wanted to kick my feet up. And I haven't always answered the call. But God, what He does here is He takes Cornelius' dream and what was at that time Peter's nightmare. And through both men's faithful obedience, He brings the gospel to the Gentiles. I mean, I can't imagine what that scene would have been like for Peter. I'm used to preaching and instructing a primarily Jewish audience. We would have known and understood each other, right? My cultural connections would have resonated with them. Things would have gone well. But you want me to take it to people who don't share my views? People who may have been hostile to me and my friends? Lord, I don't know about this. I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of tired now. Can I just have a few moments of rest? And what happens is He takes Cornelius' dream and vision, and He brings it alongside Peter's call. And as He kind of helps paint the picture for Peter, Peter steps out in faith and he goes with these men. Because I would imagine there's a side of Peter that when those guys showed up at the door, he's wondering what's about to happen to him. And we don't know this, but it would appear to me that there would have probably been a little bit of fear. Right? If Cornelius is a centurion and he's sending armed men to Peter to find Peter, Peter's probably wondering what's happening. But God reveals more and more of the dream, more and more of the vision and the plan to Peter. And He says, Peter, it's time for you to lay aside those things of the past. It's time for you to not worry about those dietary laws, or where these guys come from, or what their background is, what other nations, what other gods they may have served. And it's time for you to tell them about Jesus. I feel like as I was looking at this, you know, Peter tells them about Jesus in verses 34 through 43. And I feel like there may have been, just as I read it, you see, like, Peter's doing it, but there may not have been some joy there. He was kind of doing it as a matter of fact, as a matter of statement. And we know Peter can be this great fiery leader. And I feel like as he sees God move, Peter's swagger starts to come back. Right? Notice what he says. It says, then while Peter was saying things, the Holy Spirit fell up on those who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues, extolling God. And it says, then Peter declared. And this is where I think Peter's swagger comes back. It says he declared it. There's a confidence there. There's a man, I've seen God move. I know what I'm doing now. And so it's like Peter wasn't in his groove, and all of a sudden he hits that groove and he just starts going. And he says, hey, can anybody spare some water? Because we got to baptize these folks. And it says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Isn't that interesting? Peter doesn't just preach the gospel to the Gentiles and leave. Sometimes we see that happening in Scripture. But God used Cornelius' dream and what was at that time Peter's nightmare to bring those men together to fill his God-ordained purposes. And when we step out in faith and we obey God's call, God shows up. God answers. It's up to us. And so when God gives us a dream, or when God gives us what may seem like a nightmare, the decision is ours. Is are we going to obey, or are we going to trust ourselves? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Father, thank you for your word, the way it challenges us, the way it encourages us, Lord. Father, we confess that there's been times where you've called us to do things and we haven't done it. And so we repent of those things, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness of those things, Lord. Father, we pray for God-ordained visions and dreams that would call us out of our comfort zone, that would force us to rely on you, that would enable us to see you work. And Lord, we pray that you would use us to make a difference for your kingdom. Whether that's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with a friend or a family member or a lost person, Lord. Whether it's providing a word of encouragement or whether it's using our gifts and talents in your service, Lord. Father, that we would obey and that we would see you move as you meet us. We say all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.